everybody. It's been a minute, but welcome to the Scriptures Revealed podcast, and I have something different, interesting in store for you guys for the next couple of weeks. I decided to kind of share from my life, from my journey, some values and principles that are close to my heart, and I just wanted to kind of share that with you guys over the next couple of weeks. So I asked a friend of mine to interview me on some questions that he just wanted to pull and just ask about my life and my journey with God, and what I believe you can get out of it. Now, this is why I'm doing this. I am doing this not because I just want to talk about myself or not because I think I'm more important than the scriptures. I believe the scriptures. and one of the things that it says is that we are to be living epistles. And so my desire is that as you will listen over the next couple of weeks, that you will read something, hear something out of the epistle of my life that can transform you, cause you to think differently, and move you into a greater dimension in your relationship with God. So I'm excited to share this with you guys. I'm going to be releasing this in parts over the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to go back into teaching the scriptures. But hopefully this blesses you, encourages you, and gives you something to meditate on and add to your life. Now, by this coming Monday, the full interview will be available on my Patreons for all of you guys to listen to in its entirety. Because again, over the next 3 weeks, you're only going to get about a good 30 to 40 minutes of it, maybe about 45 minutes. However, this interview is probably close to about 80 to 90 minutes. But again, I want to share some pivotal things of it that I feel like have impacted my life and can impact yours for the glory of God. All right. So let's jump in here and see what we can learn together as we grow in Christ. Love y'all.
And so let's get to it. So first question, who would you say Ricky Watson Jr. is?
Oh, wow. I always hate this question. I would say Ricky Watson Jr. is someone who is genuinely, passionately in love with Jesus and wants everything out of life God said I could have. And I desire to see people's lives legitimately transformed the way Jesus said it could be. And I want him to use me in any way possible to see that transformation come to pass in people's lives.
Do you feel you've always felt that way about Ricky Watson Jr.?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I was diagnosed with epilepsy as a child. And I feel like God used that to set me up to kind of run into him. So I gave my life to Christ at a very early age. So I fell in love with him, though, even though because at the time my parents were not in church. My great grandmother was, and she started bringing me to church. My parents would be home. So I did not meet God religiously first. I really just fell in love with there was this God that loved me and that had a plan for my life and that wanted to use me. And I feel like after that, then I met religion. Because it was what I was taught that this is how I get to know God. And I don't regret any of that. I think it's all been useful and beneficial in my life. But because I wanted this relationship with Jesus at a young age, I feel like that's always been a part of my identity and who I am. I am a person that just loves the Lord and believes that he can really change and transform people's lives, including mine, and that he wants to use me to help transform other people's lives.
And we'll definitely ask more questions about your spirituality later. But let's jump back to the epilepsy. Like, how long did that last? I mean, like, do you deal with that now? I mean, tell us.
No, I don't deal with it now. That would be funny if I had a moment right now. No, I was diagnosed with epilepsy at the age of 5. And I had it up until the age of 12. So the early years of my life, I was in and out of the hospitals, going through a bunch of tests, trying to figure out why this happened, what could help. At that point in time, the information about epilepsy was not as prevalent as it is today. So there was still research going on. They were still finding things, still discovering things. At the time that I was diagnosed, The doctors had told my parents that they had discovered that there were several kinds of epilepsy, and but they did not have enough information yet to know what type I had or anything like that. But I remember having seizures in the night. I remember being rushed to the hospital. I remember having to sleep with my parents as an older child. When I say older, this is not like a toddler, like as an 8, 9 year old, having to sleep with my parents because I would have a seizure in the night and they wanted to be near me if it were to happen. Because what would happen while I was seizing, my tongue would roll back to the back of my throat, which would cause me to start suffocating. So they would have to turn me on my left side so that I would not suffocate while I was having a seizure. So they did not want to leave me in my room alone. I started elementary school with the nurses being aware of this, my teachers being aware of this. If I ever have an episode in school, thankfully, I don't recall ever having an episode in school. However, the ones I remember were always at home. And they put me on medication, various medications, again, trying to test everything out. And it wasn't until I felt a call from God to preach the gospel. Well, not felt, I had an entire visitation from Jesus as a kid to preach the gospel. And when I started preaching, that the Lord started healing me. And when I say started healing me, because with the epilepsy, I also had a very horrible stuttering problem. So in elementary school, I also was in speech therapy classes trying to help me. People know now if you listen to me, I get easily excited about the scriptures, easily excited about what I'm talking about. That would not have been okay if I still had a stuttering problem. Because if I got excited, I could remember trying to communicate my excitement and not being able to get my words out and the syllables out and just all over the place and then getting frustrated because I couldn't get it out the way I wanted to. And that was a real issue of my life. From the time I entered elementary school, kindergarten, all the way through 5th grade, which are, unique times in a child's life. You go through bullying, you go through people making fun of, you go through, just being a natural human person. You go through liking girls and your stuttering problem, your stuttering problem, kind of gets in the way of that. So all of that through my childhood. But when I started preaching the gospel, one of the first things that were healed in my life was that stuttering problem. I mean, instantly, just healed from it, never had another problem with it at all. It was miraculous. I think when the more I think about that and think back on that, I'm just like, that was a real miracle because I really had a problem. But God instantly healed me. And then after that, the doctors began noticing that something was changing in my brain. Something was changing. Now I felt the anointing right there. So weird, right? But something was changing in my brain, and so what they started to do is said, we're gonna test this out. We're gonna start changing his medication. They changed the medication, and then they were like, no, there's something else. There's something changing in him. So let's start taking him gradually off the medication. And the more they changed, and the more they decreased the medication, the more I was fine. I was getting better. Your brain has, brain waves, and they're like wires in the brain. And I was being literally rewired in my brain as this process was going on. And then after about a year of that, constantly decreasing the medication over several months, over a span of a year, I eventually came off of the medication, and the doctors declared that I no longer had epilepsy. And they did not understand what had happened, why it had happened. They just knew that it had happened. And I was grateful. And I haven't had any problems with epilepsy or stuttering since that time.
That's amazing. That is just, well, a miracle. But
It really is.
I want just to paint the picture for us. Get us back to that moment when you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not stuttering. And then if you're standing there preaching, other people are realizing, wait a minute, he is not stuttering right now.
No, very true. I will say I remember it, and then what happened was I developed a new fear. In all honesty, I'll never forget my first sermon that I preached was during the month of December, and it was for a Christmas program. It was for a youth Christmas program, and I was preaching about the birth of Jesus. And at the time when I first started preaching, I know people will find it hard to believe now because now I preach and teach with no notes or just a couple of scriptures or anything. But what I used to do when I first started preaching was I would go in my room and I would spend time with God. Literally, the weird kid that I was, how I would do, I would literally lay on my face before God and say, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? And he would start talking to me. Excuse me. He would start talking to me, and I would literally write out everything that he said, like word for word, what I was hearing, all of that. And I would write until I felt like, okay, he's done. And then when I preached, I literally would get up and read exactly what I got in prayer. So it really was like, hey guys, I'm here to read an announcement from the Lord. It was no, I didn't add anything to it when I first started preaching. I didn't walk through explanation. It really was more so of my messages were all declarations, just declaring what I had felt like I had heard from God. And so I was stood up to do this sermon for Christmas. I knew that God had called me to preach. I felt that call on my life. I was nervous about how it was going to come across with my speech impediment. I felt like writing all of it out may have helped a little bit because I'm like, maybe I won't get too excited and I can actually get these words out. But I had literally no problem. And I thought, oh, this is great. I'm just going to preach forever because this is the only time I don't have a stutter problem. So it went great. And I got towards the end of the message or reading the paper, and I may have literally have been up for like 7 minutes. It's just, it was so short. I was so happy and excited about this message until I realized, Ricky, you have only been talking for about 6, 7 minutes. And I thought, who cares that I'm not stuttering? They're gonna be like, where is the preacher? They're not gonna get anything out of this. And I literally stopped. When I got to the last, it was like the last two or three sentences of my message. My dad was sitting on the front row, and I froze up. Had not been having a stuttering problem at the entire time I was talking, but I got extremely nervous that I had got to the end of what I felt like I had received from God, and that was it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe I was supposed to listen for more. Maybe this is not the fullness of the message. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. I don't know. At that point, I had stopped thinking about the stuttering problem and the miracle of what was happening. And I got extremely fearful and nervous and anxious about this short message. So I froze. I stopped. And when I got to my last couple of sentences, because I knew if I keep talking, this will be the end. I froze. And I looked at my dad and I asked him to come up to the pulpit where I was. Now, today, I'm like, that would just be so hilarious to me. But I called him up to the pulpit and I remember, this is so vivid in my mind, actually. I remember pointing at my paper to my dad and saying, this is all I got. I said, this is all I got. I said, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do after this because this is all I got. This is all I got. And I'm literally on the verge of tears in the middle of preaching a message. And my dad says, he says, if this is all you have, then this is all you need to give. And I said, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He went back, sat down, and I read my three sentences that I had left. And that was it. I finished it. Told the people, thank y'all, and went and sat down. And I sat down with confidence. But I will say that lesson I got from my dad in that moment impacted my life for the rest of my life. I probably hold that principle and key even to this day, whenever I'm ministering or preaching or mentoring or any of the sort, is if this is all I have, then this is all I give. And trust that the Lord gave me what I was supposed to give.